Welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, where we pull back the bib and talk about what's really going on beneath the surface. Not just the charts, not just the systems. We're talking about the culture, the chaos, and the confessions. I'm Brandy Marzolino, and with 20 years deep in this industry, I am fresh out of patience for performative leadership. This is your space to laugh, cry, question everything, and maybe shout into a pillow between patients. We've got anonymous confessions, we've got call-ins, we've got ops room drama, and we've got the truth, served hot and a little too real. Think of this as your backstage pass to the break room no one dares to mic. Until now. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about something that's changing the game for women in dental leadership. It's called the Empowered Leadership Experience for Women in Dental. It's a six-month transformational journey for women who are done with burnout, over-functioning, and trying to lead like someone they're not. This isn't just another leadership training. It's a coming home to your voice, your power, and your joy. If you've ever felt alone at the top or stuck somewhere in the middle, this one's for you. Enrollment is now open. Head to leadhership-experience.com to enroll. Because real leadership isn't about performing. It's about remembering who you are. Now, let's get into today's episode. Woo! Trish Meridian is a force of nature. She is a registered dental hygienist, a mom, an entrepreneur, a myofunctional therapist, many other things. She is so incredibly passionate about the oral systemic connection. She's a powerhouse on Instagram, teaching other hygienists to make a lot of money going on commission. And she teaches you how to do exactly that. And she also teaches you how to take your own power back so that you can feel really empowered when you have conversations with your managers, doctors, bosses, whomever, when it comes to your pay. She talks about some taboo subjects when it comes to hygiene to destigmatize a lot of the questions that a lot of hygienists have when it comes to earning a really strong income and also demanding that you get paid well for the value that you're creating. She's also a straight talker, so she admits that if you're not creating value in the office, you might find out that you don't deserve the pay you're actually getting. It's an honest conversation about how you can be the entrepreneur of your own life as a hygienist and also having an extraordinary amount of confidence in the level of care that you're offering your patients. And by going to commission, you actually become more hungry and more empowered to serve your patients at a greater level than just doing pro fees all day. She's hilarious. She's very spirited. And what I also really loved about our time together is that I learned that she's sober, which I didn't actually know when we got together on the call. And as I'm a huge advocate for sobriety. And so it's really, really cool to hear about her journey and how sobriety played such a crucial role in her transition from being an hourly paid hygienist to where she is today in her own business and inspiring and motivating other hygienists to maximize what they can offer their patients and live extraordinary lives. Trish, you are incredible. I am so grateful that we're having this conversation today. One, I think you're hilarious. I love all the content that you share on Instagram because you are sharing some real serious stuff, but through this lens of empowerment and humor, which I always have so much respect for. And that is, you are really redefining what it means to be a hygienist in this industry and empowering other hygienists to live their best lives. And you're talking about money, which so many women are afraid to talk about. And like you've said, it's considered taboo in a lot of spaces. And you are coming in hot and you were saying, no, you deserve to get paid. You deserve to live an extraordinary life. And I'm going to tell you how to do it. And so you had a really critical moment in your own hygiene career that had you shift everything. And now you're teaching and inspiring other hygienists to do the same, which always hats off to you. That's what I'm all about. And that's why I'm so excited to have you on today too and talk some real talk about what is going on in the world of hygiene and how to empower other hygienists to follow in your footsteps. So I would love to hear what was the moment for you when you realized something's got to shift?
Yeah. So I feel like I had many moments that I wanted to shift. But the first one was 2 years in, I got really, really burnt out. Like, I was just done with the place that I was working at. I felt like it was a very toxic office. It was also the first office that I started with. And before that, I was so excited to be a hygienist. I was so proud of it. I thought it was going to be completely different. And I got thrown into this office that was called Comfy Dental. And it was like one assistant, one hygienist, one dentist, one front desk. And basically everybody was doing each other's job. And like the sterilizing room was like just not up to date. It was just like horrifying, especially from the school that coming from hygiene school, you're doing everything right. And then all of a sudden it's just like, bam, what is this? What's happening? The real world is always different, right? So that was my first moment that I was like, ooh, maybe I don't like this, or maybe there's a better job out there. So at the time I was applying, at that time, 2010, I applied for jobs. There wasn't many hygiene jobs available like now. It was literally you take what you can get and you run with that one, because I was just trying to get experience under my belt. That was the thing that everybody said back then. So I just took this job. I was there for 10 months, but I think I was like 2 months in, I was kind of just, okay, I need to move on. Also, this office was like Mass Health, which I work in the Boston area. So it's less coverage insurance-wise by the state. So then they basically were double, triple booking me. It was awful. And little Trish was like, okay, I'll do everything for you. Yes. You know what I mean? Just had nothing to say to stand up for myself. So that was a moment that I was just, okay, something's got to be different here. So I applied for another job. And it's funny because I ended up not getting the job first. And I was so excited. It was a hygiene job located inside a hospital. So I thought it would be like, oh, this is so cool. I'm going to work inside a hospital. And then the manager called me and she was like, sorry, like the position wasn't for you, blah, blah. And I was so like, oh, what the hell? I thought that I got the job when I went for the interview. It was like a doctor and a manager both interviewing me. The doctor just seemed like he loved me. The manager seemed like she loved me. And then all of a sudden it was just like, no. I was like, oh, heartbroken. Anyways, 2 months later, they call me and they're like, the job is available again. Do you want it? I started at this office and I kind of built up the perio program. I was learning and this dentist was amazing. Dr. Walters, he's retired now. He just molded me into this amazing hygienist that I swear to God I am today. He did everything by the book. And it was just like, and he would thank me for everything I did. And I was just like, oh my God, did you say thank you? The doctor said thank you to me. It was a whole different experience. So I thought I landed the freaking jackpot of hygiene jobs at that point. So everything was going well. But then I had this micromanager manager that she was sweet to you and she would buy you presents, but at the same time she was always, what are you doing, you know what I mean? And at that point I was working hourly, so I always felt when the doctor or the manager would walk by, you have to be like typing or I'm cleaning, you know what I mean? Like you're always like trying to make it seem like you're doing something, because it's almost like she made me feel like if I wasn't doing something, I wasn't there to like earn my money kind of thing. You know, I felt guilty and I hated that. And she was always on top of us to produce, to the more fluoride. It just never was like, thank you for doing blah, blah, blah. It was just like, do more, do more, do more. This is what we need to do, blah, blah, blah. So I didn't love this manager. She was sweet. That was another time that I was like, oh, I don't like this career. I don't want someone to be breathing down my neck, telling me what to do. The doctor was nice, but at the same time, this doctor was so proper and so perfect that I felt I had to be perfect. And I'm a loud person. I'm like giggly. I laugh. And sometimes I get a little out of control in my room, but I have so much fun with my patients and they love me. But sometimes he would come over and be like, Trish. Or he'd be like, turn the radio down, Trish, too loud. And I don't even think I was even that loud. So I felt like he boxed me in a little bit. Turn it down, Trish, which I understand. You have to be professional, but I like to have fun. Then this hygienist started working with us and she started as an ortho assistant and she was in hygiene school and then they offered her a job. Come to find out, she started the job. And when you're like a seasoned hygienist, I guess you could say, and a newer hygienist comes through and you can tell they're not doing as good of a cleaning as you are. You can just, no offense, newer hygienist. I was there too. So I felt like she wasn't cleaning people's teeth. Patients would come back, calculus everywhere, miss this, miss that. I'm just like, oh my God. And I think I went about it the wrong way. One day I hope to talk to this girl because I feel like I probably treated her like shit because I felt like she was like overstepping my area because I was there for so long and they were giving her more praise kind of thing. And I was like, what the hell? I've been here forever. And they made me the lead hygienist. And then I find out that she's getting paid more than me. And it wasn't even like a huge thing, maybe $3 more than me. And I was pissed. I was so angry. I walked straight into my manager's office and I was like, I want a raise. I think that's literally what I said. I don't even think I said it in a discreet way or a professional way. It was just, I need to get a raise. I think she knew, she must have known or something, I found out, because the way that she looked at me was just like, oh shit. we got caught or something like that. And from there, she worked on it. And at that point, I was just so angry. I was like, what the hell? I've been here. I've been giving so much. And now this other employee is going to make more money than me when she has literally way less experience than me. And I've been busting my ass for this place. What the hell? You know what I mean? So that was another moment that I was just like, ugh. So from there, once I found out that, I almost want to thank this girl, because that was the pivotal moment of me being like, you know what? I had to own that. That was my fault for never asking for a raise. Okay. And that's the thing a lot of hygienists don't do. We're timid about it. We don't know how to go about it. Like, there's no room in the budget. I've heard that so many times from other hygienists, or not right now. So that was a little moment that I was, okay, if I want something, I have to go and get it. I have to go and ask for it. People aren't just going to hand you money. Here, you're doing a great job. Here's some more money. I never go by that anymore. I don't know. Maybe some people get raises like that, but I know in the dental field, I've never heard of that. From there, I started to do research on how to ask for things, boundaries. I started to work on myself. But then after that, I got better, but then I started to get worse. I had some family problems, issues. I used to be a really heavy alcohol drinker, and it trickled because I felt like I was working so hard at my job and that I was stressed with my home life and work life, and it just burst. And basically, I got to a point that I was drinking way too much. I was literally living to drink on the weekend, and my mindset was really bad. So finally, there was actually a really pivotal moment in my life when I was drinking and my mom and my husband gave me an intervention. You have to stop drinking or you can say goodbye to your kids, kind of thing. And from there, I was like, oh shit. And from there, I quit drinking alcohol since then. And from that moment on, I had to put my energy into something else. So people who have addiction problems, we tend to get addicted to anything that we do, right? It's not even just drugs. It's whatever we're into. And I think that's why it makes you such a great entrepreneur or someone who wants to learn more and stuff. I started diving deep into my work. What else can I do? And how can I make my patients better? We started doing these little bonuses, things that work. Like if you sell this, you can get this much in money in your check. And I started to do really well with it. I was a waitress like way before hygiene. So I was really good at talking to people. I did that for 5 years. There was a book I read, Bulletproof Hygiene. I read that book and they talked about working on commission. And I learned so much through that book that it opened up my eyes. And I was like, oh, wow, there's a different way of working hygiene. So then I look into this book and it opened up my eyes and I do more research. And I'm like, what else can I do? And finally, it was after COVID. We came back from COVID and we had this big meeting and it was, okay, everybody's going on commission. And thinking, probably because they were thinking like, oh, nope, the patients ain't coming back. So you guys are going on commission.
We're right? Like,
shit. But I ended up like tripling my income when I came back from COVID. Tripling my income. So the way that we got paid at this office I was working at was a 33% net production. So we were getting paid the same as the associate dentists that were working in the practice. We were like a small mom and pop shop turned into a couple offices bought out by DSO. So that office changed so much because I was there for 12 years. But basically after COVID, we went straight into commission. I tripled my sales really quick, maybe in a month. I got really good at my time management. I just kept learning and learning and learning. Rachel Wall is like one of the most amazing people I've ever researched on. She's awesome. I got a lot of my information from her about production, about how to track your numbers, about how to talk to your patients. And then I started diving deep into the Oral Systemic Link and I became certified oral systemic educator through NNHH, which I'm on their board now. So just one thing led to the other and it just trickled. And then I was like, let me put this out there. Maybe I can help other hygienists make more money too. If I'm tripling my income, and before I used to think, ew, I don't want to work commission. I don't want to push
product, so my patients, you know what I mean? That's the thing that everybody says. And it's really not, because honestly, after I started working commission is when I actually started doing my damn job. Because before, I was hesitating to do my job correctly. Sorry, but it's true. I felt I wasn't getting paid for what I was doing. So I was doing the bare minimum. Oh, we can watch that. But watching things, especially when there's a pocket, like, why wouldn't you do something about it? It's hard to explain to hygienists the whole production thing, but now I just think about it. If that was your family member, would you watch a pocket? Or would you do something about it? I would do something. If it was my mom, hi, mom, we need to do this right now. We need to fix it. So from there, I started putting together courses, and then I put them out there to sell. And it was a kind of a slow trickle because I had to build my Instagram account. And it was really hard to sell, like very hard sell, to tell hygienists to go from hourly to getting paid hourly to commission, because they're like, no way. And people didn't believe me. They didn't believe I was making this much money, which I understand, but I did. And I was doing it in a very ethically way, because I was diving deep into perio, conversations, how to speak to people, not to manipulate them, but to really, really get through to the patient and help them understand what they need and why they need it. And if they want to do it, they want to do it. If they don't, they don't. But I just got really good at my craft. So I put that into a course for other hygienists. And it was kind of slow in the beginning, and then it went up. And now I make sales every day on these little courses. I had a big weekly course, but then I put a pause on that after I had a baby. And then after that, I found out, oh, I'm profitable selling online. Maybe I want to teach this. Let me teach this. So then I started to put something like that together. Help hygienists if you want to put a product online and sell it out into the internet. Because obviously everybody and their mother is making money on the internet right now. Why can't you have a piece of that pie? So it's these little things that I try to help hygienists think outside of the box. What else can you do with your career? It's not just clinical. You can do so many other things. You can work on commission, and then basically you can work way less because you're making way more and you're making a bigger impact on those patients. And then you can sell something online if you wanted to. Or now I'm also, I guess, certified in myofunctional therapy. So I can also do that completely instead of clinical if I wanted to, or I could do a little bit of that and clinical. So I always thought that hygienists were just like, that's it. You're a hygienist. What else are you going to do with your degree? But there's just so much more out there that you can do. You just have to put yourself out there. And that's what I want to teach hygienists and tell hygienists, that if they really want to do something else, because I do see that a lot of hygienists are burnt out or they're just not happy with their career anymore. And I think that deep down, it's partly mentally them, what they're thinking in their mind. So I do think that hygienists need to do a lot of mindset work, develop their mindset to get them to a better spot. So that's what I just want to put out there for hygienists, that there are other ways of making money. And it's not just clinical, but also the fact that I think the biggest problems out there right now is not just the hygiene shortage, you could say. I think it's an office problem too. Every office is freaking different. I hate that about hygiene. Like, it's all different. That's the other thing about working on commission and working hourly and asking for what you want. It's difficult to get that through to hygienists because they feel like they can't, or they're not allowed to, or my dentist would never allow that. He doesn't even let me buy instruments, or there's no way they would do. But then people are saying that, but they haven't even asked. They haven't presented their production numbers. They're stuck in this little globe. Like, they need to swim out and figure it out. Are you profitable? Because you have to think of the dentistry. It's a business. I know a lot of us hygienists are like, oh, we're preventative or blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, like, you need to keep the lights on in the office. You need to buy stuff for the office. It's just like any other business. So I know it's healthcare and it's a little bit different, but at the same time, there's a lot of dental offices out there that are going out of business. So why are they going out of business? You know what I mean? Maybe because we're doing profies all day. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, there's that business side that I think that it's awful that does not get taught in hygiene school, because you get out into the real world and you're just thrown out there and you have no idea what you're doing. Literally, that's how I felt when I got thrown in. I didn't know anything about business. And even dentists don't know about the business side of dentistry. Do you know what I mean? Especially, I feel like the newer ones know a little bit, but like, the gritty nitty of business, I feel there's a lot of like gray area and what we should do and how we should do it and how should we approach it and office protocols all over the place. So there's just so much to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That is one story. That is incredible. So I have so many questions, but I want to touch on the idea about talking about money, because I think that that's really powerful, especially for women, in the sense of so many women feel really uncomfortable talking about money, and because of society conditioning. And I think you and I both agree that many women are conditioned to this idea of, oh, thank you so much for paying me. We just accept. And I remember early on in my career, I was given a job offer and I was with a male colleague and he said, what are you going to counter with? And I said, counter,
What?
right? What do you mean counter? And he's, well, it's just an offer. You got to negotiate. And I was like, what? Do you negotiate? And he's, yeah, it's just an offer.
Yeah.
And I just, it never dawned on me to counter and negotiate. And for men, at least most men I know now, that's just commonplace. Yeah, what are you offering? Let's go back and forth. And I think a lot of women are just in this position where we think, okay, that's what they're going to pay me. I don't want to push buttons. I don't want anyone to get upset with me. I don't want to them not to like me as soon as I start. So I want to be a people pleaser. I want to be likable and I want to be difficult. We have all these stories that we make up about ourselves that keep us from really declaring our value, declaring our worth, knowing what we're worth, and asking for that in compensation. And that's something I really like about what you're training women around too. And something I like about, a lot about your content is you're just out there saying what's so and taking away the stigma and normalizing this stuff, which I think is really powerful. So, do you have any journey or did you have a breakthrough or something that you realized too, or anything that you could share with hygienists or any woman in dental, honestly, about breaking through this fear around talking about money?
I think it came with the experience I went through and
Yeah.
feeling like I was taken advantage of. And I was like, no one's taking advantage of me again. So part of it was experience, but that's what I'm trying to put out there is my story and how that can help the next hygienist, right? I grew up in a family that my mom was always make your own money, be independent, da 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 da. So I think it depends on how you grew up with money. But I do think that you're completely right because when my husband talks about like making money or going for a job interview, he always talks about that stuff, like counter, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? Like before. But now I'm the one having that conversation with people. It's so funny. People on Instagram will literally type out an essay and send it to me in my DM box. This is what I have going on. What should I do? I'm like, oh my God, that's way too much information. And I need more information. And I can't just tell you. They just want me to say yes or no. Is this a good offer? And I think at the end of the day, if you're looking for a job, you have to like the job. You have to like the people you work with. It's not all about the money. That's what I try to put that out in my channel. I know it feels like it's all about money, but like at the end of the day, it's not about money. Money is just energy. I think that you should be paid for what you're doing. If you're doing a shitty job, maybe you should get shitty paid. But if you're doing a good job, then you can advocate for yourself. That's why the way that I think is the best way for a hygienist to work is to work for your work. Like you can make so much more money doing it that way, even with, I know insurance sucks these days, like even with shitty insurance, like you just have to know what you're talking about and how to present that treatment and also know how to present that to your doctor. So, hey, this is what I'm looking like this week. This is what I'm looking like, or this is how much I've increased our production. Looking at all that stuff that I swear to God, there's so many hygienists that don't even know that's a thing. They don't even know how to print their production report. So, I do think that's really important. Plus, once you do that, the dentist will look at you way different. Like, oh, she knows her stuff. You know what I mean? And if you know your numbers, it's just like a given that you, I know that I'm making more than what you're paying me. Pay me more. Or you could be the other hygienist, like, oh shit, he's overpaying me. And then you should look at your stuff and be like, what am I doing? What's happening? There's so much to it. There could be patients not coming to their appointments, the underdiagnosing perio, the doctor's not on board. There's just so much to it, but there's ways to fix it to have a more profitable dental office and obviously make bank as a hygienist. You can make a lot of money working as a hygienist. You just have to know what you're doing and know what to say. And the other thing that working commission that I've noticed is, and that the more better I got at my job was that my job felt so easy. Instead of doing that cleaning back to back cleaning, cleaning, cleaning. I'm like, no, 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 no. We're not doing the cleaning today. You're going to come back. We're going to do this. And then it also helped me learn new things. So I'm like, what else can I bring into the office to make production and help the patients, right? So I would just bring in salivary testing, perioprotect trays, all these other adjuncts to help, because you can't just be a hygienist who makes bank and does really well with their patients if you don't have that stuff to help you bring up your production. You can't just be doing SRPs all day and think that's how you're going to make money. Like, you need to think outside of the box. Sealants for adults. Why can't adults get sealants? You should be able to if your tooth is fine. Just little things like that. Presenting it and just getting comfortable with it. And then your job is just so easy because you're doing way less. You're doing more of this, but you're doing less of this. They say that speakers make the most money. I think that's what they say. Your mouth. You just have to master at it. That's what I'm trying to get at. Master your craft.
Well, what I hear you saying too is, I mean, I always say education is power, right? And what you're really preaching is for the hygienist to know her worth or his worth and educate yourself on your own metrics. Because if you know what your numbers are, you know, the numbers don't lie, right? So we can all convince ourselves we're eating a certain number of calories or whatever a day. And then if we actually track it, it's, oh, I mean, that was something hilarious with me. I got really into eating cashews. I still love cashews, but then I was like, oh man, there's a lot of calories in a cashew, right? No wonder I'm like packing on pounds, but anyway, I digress. But the reality is, until you actually start looking at the facts, you don't know, right? And one of my mentors always says, dollars follow value creation. And so what you're saying is create the value and the numbers will follow, right? The dollars will follow. And finding a way to create the value and actually doing the math and working the numbers to see what value are you bringing to the practice. And I also hear you saying that that will give you a whole lot more confidence and who you are as a provider, because essentially you identify as an entrepreneur too. I mean, you are, but even in the hygiene role, you're an entrepreneur, you're running your own business. And so you need to educate yourself, create more value, bring more wisdom to your patients and expand what you're offering, which is really, really cool too. And you're way more confident, right? You're way more sure of yourself when your patients come in or how you want to run your treatment. And I want to ask too, just kind of segueing into that, there's a lot of banter online lately about hygienists becoming their own brand and really pushing their own brand within the office's brand so that they can create a patient following and essentially act like entrepreneurs within the practice, to your point, which is generating more income and revenue for yourself and then obviously for the practice as well. And of course, you're providing care for your patients and offering them more proactive services and things like that. So with that in mind, like, how do you feel about the idea of hygienists really focusing on building a brand around who they are as a provider? Is that something that you agree with, or do you think that's a little more extreme on that end?
I actually thought of doing that at one point in my career. I was like, ooh, maybe I can post pictures of before and afters. Why not? You know what I mean? That did run through my head when I was working production, because I was like, I want to bring more patients in. So what if I post whitening stuff online? I don't see why that'd be an issue. I have seen dentists out there doing a really good job at putting their stuff out there. And they also put the hygienist stuff out there too. I think it's best if the dentist leads it a little bit. The dentist has to be some kind of part of it, because yeah, you can. It's because then you're just like acting as an independent little worker. Come to me. Yes, you're going to have your following of patients. If you, they love you, they love you. They're going to come with you if you go anywhere else or whatever. But I think it's a good idea, but I think it should be the whole team. And I love seeing these accounts out there that the dentist like praises the hygienist, or they're having fun in the office. I love that, because why wouldn't you want to work for a place like that? And especially when people make jokes, because I'm all about jokes, but it's just more fun. Why do we have to be so uptight all the time? We can relax and be professional at the same time, still get our work done. So I don't think that's a bad idea at all, but we do have to be careful what we post. There's a lot of stuff that cannot be posted and people are getting in trouble these days.
Yeah. And I like what you're saying, under the protection and the support of the doctor in the office too. That's a really critical role of it. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it all goes back to alignment and making sure that you're in the right office, right? Because you're going to figure out real quickly the misalignment if you're somebody that's really trying to build a career and do all the work you're suggesting and the office isn't supportive of it. And a lot of those exist as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's very cool. So in the program and the offerings that you have for hygienists, do you actually walk through some of the number stuff and teach them how to come up with their numbers and calculate? And do you walk them through that as well?
Yeah. So right now I have a lot of free stuff too, free resources for hygienists to figure out their numbers. You could do it on your own if you wanted to, or if you need extra help, I have these courses. One course that I have, it's called the RGH Superstar Bootcamp. It's a 5-day, or you can do 5-week. You go through every day. Basically, you look at your numbers, you see where you're at, you compare it to your paycheck. Are you over or are you under? And then if you're underproducing, what can you do to bring into your office to start producing more? There's also scripting, lightly scripting on how to ask your boss for a raise and how to present that. I have this RDH portfolio that's a Google Doc that you can just put a bunch of stuff in there. So I always tell hygienists, you're not going to remember everything amazing that you've done. So every time you do something, either put it in your phone, like a notes app. I did this and the patient did this. Just little things that, like, maybe one day while you're in an interview, you can bring up like a case of a patient or something like that. Because if you don't advocate for yourself, if you don't tell people what you're doing and how good you are at it, don't think they're going to know, especially if it's a new place. But even people that know you, they don't know all the stuff, the amazing stuff you're doing. You have to put it out there. You have to talk about it, because no one's coming and being, you're doing amazing. Here's an extra $5.
Yeah, so you got to advocate for yourself. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
And like you're saying, once you're educated and you have the tools, it makes it that much easier, right? Which I'm a huge advocate for.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, my programs walks you through how to figure out where you are, where you want to go, and how to get there. It walks you through the whole thing. So right now, it's just my evergreen stuff, my courses. And then I have another course. I did a 3-day RDH challenge. It was make more money in the office. I talked a lot about mindset and how hygienists need to stand up for themselves and basically ask for what they want. And then also I threw in some digital product stuff in there. So ideas of what you can do to sell online if you wanted to do something like that too.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. And so congratulations. So it sounds like you're sober. Is that right?
Yes, girl.
Yeah. So how many years now?
I think it's been 5 years. 5 years.
Congratulations.
5, 6 years. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So, you know, do you know that I'm sober as well?
I was listening to a couple of your podcasts and you were talking to someone who helped you with your sobriety.
Dr. Brett Kessler, who's the president of the ADA currently, I think he's got 20 plus years sober now, and he's a huge advocate for mental health and sobriety, especially in dentistry. And there's a lot of really incredible resources there as well. And so he's been very out about his recovery and sobriety because of his position and also just his general calling that he, it's really important for him to share his story. And with him sharing his story, it gave me the courage to share more publicly about mine. And it was just like this incredible game changer. And then Laura Nelson and Margie Schaller, who co-founded Sober Life Rocks, they created that at the Do Retreat a couple years ago. It was where it was born. And then I got really involved in that as well, because it's been a really cool movement within the dental space and broader. I mean, they're trying to work with all professionals, but particularly dental space, to find a lot of like-minded people that are sober, which has been really, really cool. And the blending of the two worlds has been like such an awesome experience for me, because when we're fully integrated and we can talk about all parts of ourselves without the shame or the self-judgment or the fear of what people think, it's just that much more liberating.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing about how I want to portray myself online too is I'm a very open book. Some people might not like that, but I tell it how it is. And I don't keep anything protected. I don't keep anything. Like, if I had a drinking problem and my kids were about to get taken away, I'm going to tell you that. And I'm okay with being vulnerable if I can help someone in some way. I think it's important for all of us online creators to do that, obviously.
Yeah. And it's breaking the stigma and letting people, they're not alone. And I think the more people speak out about where they're at, like folks like you and I, people can know us and take a look at us and go, oh, okay, they're sober. Okay. I thought it was just people under a bridge that were homeless or whatever. It's no, there's a lot of people out here that, you know, struggle with this stuff and have found a path and are working it and living cool lives and trying to spread the message. So that's really awesome.
Yeah.
So high five. I knew there was a reason the universe brought you into my life. So that's very cool.
That's thanks, awesome. Girl.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that. And congratulations on your journey. It's, again, I always admire deeply people who do what you did, especially adding in the sobriety component too. Like, you could have just stayed here. Not that that's bad either, but just the fact that you took everything that you knew and you decided you wanted to share it with others and empower others and get yourself to a place where you felt really whole and complete. And I know the inner work that comes with sobriety, so I'm sure that played into it as well. And the fact that you're sharing it and you're having these vulnerable conversations and you're so willing to talk about it and you're so open about it, you're making such a huge difference. And I'm sure not just in the world of hygiene and money and stuff like that, but you're showing people what's possible. And I think that's the coolest thing, because it's this expansive thinking, because a lot of people, they don't know what's possible until they see somebody else doing it. So thank you for lighting the way and showing people that there is another option in a variety of ways that you're showing here today. So keep doing what you're doing. I think you're just an absolute light in the world that people need to know. So I'm really grateful for our time today. Thank you so much for being with me. You just listened to The Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices. It's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode.